Well, I hope that's your testimony tonight. We appreciate the Oswardy family. God sent them to us a few years back, and in just a little while we had them involved in everything and been a real blessing, real help to us, and we appreciate them so very much. I'm going to jump in here for a few minutes. Now, this happens to me every watch night service. When my turn comes and I get to go in a while, and a lot of the ladies get up and leave. And I'm telling you ahead of time tonight, they'll probably do it again. But they got a reason. Because following me is the break time, the refreshments. And they'll be going over there getting things ready. And we appreciate that. Now, it's not exactly a sermon. I'm going to reminisce. I'm going to talk about some things. It's kind of a home night. It's somewhat of the state of landmark. You know, the president sometimes gives a speech on the state of the nation, right? Well, we give you kind of a state of landmark. Landmark's our nation, I reckon you'd say, in a sense. It's kind of the story of landmark. I want to read a verse tonight out of Philippians chapter 1. I'm not going to read all the context. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Most of you know your Bibles. You know when Paul and Silas was in jail, the result of that was the jailer getting saved and his family, and the result of that was a church getting started in the little city of Philippi. And so when Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, he's right back to that church that got started in what looked like an awful bad time. Paul was falsely accused, jailed, beaten, and yet God made good out of it. Amen. Made good out of it. So I read here in Paul's letter, starting off here, the church at Philippi. He says this to him in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Paul said, now I'm confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to kind of personally apply that verse to our church. I believe exactly what Paul said to the church at Philippi. I believe God's hand has been on landmark through the years. I believe he has continued to perform his blessings on us, and he's going to keep us and use us until the day of Jesus Christ. And we are an amazement to a lot of folks, but the answer is God. It's God. It's not us. We're only blessed of the Lord. We could be out there with the crowd popping firecrackers tonight. Don't let that bother you. If they're getting their kicks out of that, I'm getting my kicks out of being here in the house of God. Amen. Tonight, we'll give a few abbreviated reports, and I may scramble them some here. But Paul is speaking of the confidence of this church at Philippi going ahead in the future. Now, this is a time of year that we're supposed to look back and we're supposed to look ahead. And it's okay to think about what's behind. We can't live there, though. We've got to have our vision to move forward. First text I ever used in this church, and many of you have heard me say this, on a Wednesday night when they've a handful of people, right a couple of days before Christmas, asked me to be the pastor, and I became the official pastor first Sunday in January 1971. But as we did that, and that group asked us to come, we were looking ahead, seeing what God would have us do, and we just jumped in and began to do it. I praise God for what he's done from those days on. I said already earlier we probably had 47, or maybe this is the 48th, or maybe it's more than that. I have to do my arithmetic, but around 48 watch night services, because I'd hardly unpacked the bag before we had the watch night service after I was voted in as pastor. And every watch night service we've done similar to what we are doing tonight. I'll never forget about the first or second watch night service. I was speaking like I am right now. I've been here, I guess it must have been the second one, because it wouldn't have been the first one. Probably the next year. I've been here probably a year. And I'd been doing what Brother Mezzo Smith was talking about, out knocking doors and trying to win souls. And I'd done that. Town wasn't as big as it is now. I think I knocked almost every door in town myself at one time or another. And we're having a watch night service, and we'd gotten through a lot of the stuff, and I was down bringing the message. And it was in the old building, and it just had a middle aisle in it. And the doors opened in the back. We're talking about late now. I was preaching the last message, I think, about 11 o'clock. So it was probably about 11:30. And the doors opened, and a fella come in and started walking down the aisle, scared everybody to death because the way he come in. Walking down the aisle, he didn't stop. Now, the building was a little different than this. The pulpit was lower, and the pew came right up closer to the pulpit. And looked like, just looking at him, that he had some evil intent coming. And I'm trying to speak and watch him. He don't sit down here, and he don't sit down there, and he just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. And finally, I realized he was coming all the way to the pulpit. So I left the pulpit and I ran down like this to meet him. About that time, another man jumped up thinking he was going to have to help me wrestle with him. And just as that far apart, this man broke down and went to crying like a baby. And then he wanted to hug me. I'm always leery of men hugging me, but anyway. I was close enough to him then I could smell that he was two sheets in the wind. He had a snout full, I'm sure. But here's what he said. He said, "I just love you, preacher, because you saved me." I had been knocking doors a week or two before and had won a profession of faith out of him. Now, the way he smelled, I don't think God saved him. I think I did. But I remember some various things happening at watch night service that I go back through the years with. And it's a time that we look ahead and believe God for the future. And tonight I'm going to give some reports. They have been better reports. They have been worse reports. But we thank God for what he's done in 2017. And we're rejoicing in the fact that God has provided. Number of years ago, many of you remember, we had a couple of brothers in church, Ed and Bob Thompson. Anybody remember the Thompsons? That's a lot of hands. They were good men, served God with us, and they used up their allotment of time as I was preaching this morning. But Brother Ed was one of our deacons. And Brother Ed would say to me sometime in deacon's meeting, because in deacon's meeting, we look at the budget, we see where we're at and what we're doing, and if there's some problem we've got to deal with, and so the counseling takes place in there. And preachers aren't supposed to worry. John Wesley, the old-time preacher, said he'd soon sin his worry. I have sinned a few times when it comes to worry. And worry is a lack of faith, and I talk to myself and preach to myself, so I don't need any sermonettes from you about it. However, Brother Ed Thompson used to be such an encouragement. Many of you remember he'd go around here and shake hands with you on Sunday morning. What did he say? "Have I told you lately? Have I told you lately? Have I told you lately God loves you?" And he was always up. You couldn't catch him down. He was just always up. Now, even with his health breaking, he would still be up. He'd just always be up. And Brother Ed said to me, and I reminded him, "I don't talk to the dead, but I come close to it at his funeral." He used to say to me, "Brother Carter, God's going to send every dollar we need. He's going to send every person we need. He's going to provide." Well, you know what? He has. And Brother Ed was right on that. And it's been a walk of faith. And We praise the Lord for what he's done. I think about our early beginning, and we did have a very early beginning. I think about the lawyer that was in court, and he said, "Now, Judge, I'm going way back. I've got to go way, way back. And the judge said, hold it a minute. Would you start at least on this side of the flood? And I'm thinking that tonight. I won't start on this side of the flood. But I do go way back to when we came here in our early beginnings. We had a few people. We had debts. We didn't have enough money to even meet the current expenses every week. We were paying the light bill. We were trying to support one missionary at $12 a month. You can think about that tonight. $12 a month was what the church was committed to when I came here to one missionary. And the pews they were sitting on had been bought on credit. It was all coming due at one time. Now, I can't remember exactly, but it was around $5,000, but it might as well have been $1 million because we didn't have $5,000. And in the little building, they just got in. There was a little building without a restroom, but I thank God that they had that. And we got started. Deacon said to me, now, preacher, we'd like to pay you $100 a week, but it's not coming in right now. That was an understatement. It certainly wasn't. So that's kind of how we started off. Think about that now as I read to you a little bit tonight, the financial report. You'll have to bear with me. I've got three sheets here. I'm not going to go through all the details. I'm going to try to hit the bottom lines as best that I can. Our first offering when I came here the first week was $167. We had a light bill. We had the other little expenses. We were sitting on the pews that were not paid for. We just started off just after Noah got off the boat. I mean, it was way back. And things didn't look all that good. Think about that now as I read you the report tonight. Our total income for this year of 2017 is up over 2016. It's a positive increase of $39,000. Now, the total income for 2016 was $1,763. I get it right. $1,763.14, and we're up $39,000 over that. The day school, I hardly ever read a report on the day school, but the day school has come back. And reading this report here is a real positive because most of you know through the years the day school's always been in the red. And it would be in the red if the church didn't cover things like the light bill and the mortgage payments on the rooms and all that. But we're so thankful that just on the cash flow, just on the immediate expenses, that the day school is in the black. It's up. Isn't that amazing? Total income for the day school, $760,951, and it's up to $944,460, or an increase of $183,000, $183,508. That is one of the best reports that we've ever seen, probably on the day school. Now, number-wise, we're not as many as we were at our peak. But we've been growing toward it and making a great comeback with the school, and we praise God for that. College, and of course, church treats the day school, the college, the bus ministry, and all these other things. We treat it like we are the household, and they're the kids in it. They're our ministry. So we invest in them. But even the college is up over last year by $49,000. And we certainly praise God for that. So when I talk about, and if God's letting Brother Ed listen to this tonight, he's got a right to say, I told you so. And it's a good report. Curriculum went down some, 27,000. Various reasons there. And the radio station went down some, 38,000. However, last year, the radio station was up because, if you remember, we raised an extra special offering last year for a new transmitter. So that kind of tells you what the situation is. Now, when we move to the expense sheet and take a look at that, Total expenses for 2016 was $3,174,329. I can't read figures this big, not used to them. But we're up on expenses some. We're up by $75,000. Have I got that right? No, I'm... Yes, we are. We're up. But we still came out with the income ahead. Income, we're about 7% up above that. And we praise the Lord for that. Part of our coming up on our gross is because we did raise the extra money for the mortgage fund. So that kicks in and shows us that. And we're real close on it. We're going to still have to keep giving, but we're praying and believing God's going to let us burn that main mortgage, that big one. We'll owe some other stuff, but not compared to that. That is the big one. That's just kind of the bottom line that I'm giving you right there. Now, you had the soul winnings reports, Sister Condon and Brother Messersmith giving them to us tonight. And across the campus, the church, the junior church, the junior camp, the teen church, the teen camp, and the soul winning that went on anniversary Sunday last year gives us a total of the number of souls saved for the year of 2017 of 403 souls. Amen. That's good. We praise the Lord for that. Our weekly bus ministry attendance is down. But we got to push right now, and we are going to push to try to get it up as we get the college students back. And we're going to do some things to try to build up for the anniversary Sunday that's coming. Folks, if we'll get into it and we'll push, it'll be a day that we'll see a lot of souls saved. Our early beginning, compared to what God has done now, shows His hand, don't it? Let me say this. I can take you back to January 1971. I can take you to churches. I can take you to buildings in this county, in this area even, that are no bigger tonight, done no more much than they were doing. And I'm still glad they're there and they're doing what they're doing. They're good churches. But I'm just saying God has had His hand on Landmark Baptist Church. There's just no doubt about it. We stepped out on faith. We started buses. Many of you know all the bus stories. I won't try to tell you all. I actually did resurrect the first bus out of the junkyard. You've heard me say that before. That's not an exaggeration. The man that I had worked with and known, a little bit older than me, I went out and he knew me from my hot rod days and from the work we'd done together when both of us were lost. And I didn't have any money to buy a bus, but I wanted to get a bus. I wanted to start a bus route. And I went out and asked him, "Do you have an old junk bus? We reckon we could resurrect it and get it going." And he said, "Well, Mickey, I don't know." He said, "I do have one down there. It had a pretty good motor in it. It was running, but so there's no wheels and tires on it." And he said, "It's a rust bucket." I said, "Let's get it and see if we can get it going." And we pulled it out and put wheels and tires on it. I forgot to mention brakes. And when I left his place and started down the hill across the railroad, the first time I thought about brakes, I didn't have any. I had to cross the railroad and go out through the woods to let the thing coast down, turn around and go back, and then we had to work on the brakes. But we got it done. And I ran that bus the next Sunday. That old 49 model, this will date you, 49 model six-cylinder Chevrolet. And it jumped out of gear. You had to hold it in gear. But we made a start. And from that time on, we've had a bus ministry. And God is, but no telling what heaven will reveal on how many souls have been reached because of the bus ministry. I've read some letters to you of folks that became adults later writing back, thanking us for picking them up on buses. And God got blessed in that so many ways. We stepped out on faith. We got the day school and the camp and the college and all of that going. And a lot of folks said we couldn't do that. We didn't listen to them. We just let God speak to our hearts and stepped out in what looked like impossible. God blessed through those years. Talking about some of our early beginnings, I remember the first Christmas mission offering that we took. We were so thrilled, and I've still got a picture of it somewhere. My wife made the picture. I built a gauge. I'm a gauge building fellow. You do know that, don't you? One on both sides, like dual exhaust on your car. But first one I ever built was about 6 foot tall, maybe seven. Looked a lot like that. And it was Christmas mission offering, and I put $1,000 as a goal. Sister Wren's shaking her head. She remembers that. That was way back. $1,000 seemed like a million to us almost. And you know what? We prayed and begged, and sure enough, we made $1,000 for missions extra for that first Christmas there. And you heard me tell the story how that I needed another bus really bad. And the devil got on my shoulder. He said, you know, you could buy a bus for that much. I said, no, we got to send it to missions. Well, you know, you need a bus. You reach a lot of souls. I said, all that's right. But I gave it to missions like we'd promised. And a man visiting my church, later become a member, but he was not a member then, but he was visiting. He said, I need to talk to you, preacher. He said, I've got, I believe it was three buses. Wouldn't you like to have them? I said, I sure would, but we can't afford to buy a bus. He said, oh, no, I'm going to give them to you. Now, I couldn't have bought three buses for $1,000, I'll guarantee you. God honored so many different ways like that, and so many stories that I could tell you how he was in it from the very, very beginning. And so many things he blessed in. We had our back sets, and no doubt, You can't do anything for God without fighting the devil. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some things you can't expect. Our day school took a hurting after 40 years here, just a few years back, and it hurt us and hurt the church some. Wasn't our fault. Wasn't anything we could have done about it, and we had some folks quit us over it, and I'll tell you what, that hurts. Disappoints when somebody says, well, you know, you might as well give up and quit and close it down and all that business. But we didn't. We didn't quit. And we went down pretty low, but we stuck by it because we believed if God was ever in it, he'd still be in it. And so we just didn't let it whip us. And by the grace of God, God is blessed from that time. I just read you the best financial report I've ever read on Christian Day School. Now think about that a little bit. Do you know that while some folks, even some that disappointed us, we thought better of, that let us down during those days, there were some outsiders that we maybe had never been in this building that sent notes of encouragement because they'd been watching us through the years and they encouraged us even from the outside. And that was a blessing. Yeah, it might have been a few wanting to kick us when we were down. I think about old Simeon when David was having his trouble with Absalom stealing his kingdom. You remember how he walked along the road as David was leaving and threw stones at him and cursed him and kicked dust at him? Remember? The devil's always got a few like that. But David handled it right, and God took care of it. But, you know, we had our back sets, but God saw us through it. And in it all, we didn't compromise. We stuck by what was right. We still stick there. You know, we've stood from the beginning on this old book. When this building was built, that Bible behind me over the baptistry was put up. On the corner of it, it said KJV. I've had people say, what does that mean? Well, it means we got the Word of God. We hold it in our hand. We use it. We've got it inspired. We've got it preserved. We got it just like God wanted us to have it. And we've stuck by it. We haven't compromised. I've had folks say to us, how people can't understand that old book. I've got news for you. If the Holy Spirit gets in their heart, they can understand it. And not be misled by it being perverted one way or the other. We stood by the old book. And we've stood for what was right. We've stood for the nation of Israel because we know God's going to yet bring them back and use them. And that's not always been a popular stand. I was thinking about it a little bit in my mind. Probably the only two times, maybe three times, in my whole ministry here that I've ever had to ask, and at least a couple maybe publicly ask, to leave this church was over two issues. One was the Bible, and one was over the Jew. If you're a Jew hater, you don't belong here. When I preached the other morning praising the president for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, that's where we've always stood. And I believe if God has blessed us because through his grace we're blessed by him, we haven't earned it, but we have taken some stands, I believe, that please the Lord. Standing for the word of God. Standing on the side of Israel when all the nations are gathered against her. That is God's position. And it's not popular. I understand my preachers. Now, some of you don't think I understand that everybody don't agree with me. But I do understand that. Some of you fear for me to go to the door after I preach. I have thought about taking a ball back there with me, but maybe a gun, I don't know. But anyway, truth is everybody don't agree with me, but I'm supposed to try to be in agreement with God and not be afraid of the faces of man. Amen. And we've taken that stand as a church, and God has blessed that. We're still with the old book. We're still with the old music. We're still against worldliness. And we're going to stand there because it's the right place to stand. If we're going to have God provide for the future, we're going to have to do the same things he provided for in the past. He blessed in the past, he'll bless in the future. And that's what we're counting on. I get charged sometimes with being too political. Well, you've been conned a little bit. I didn't invade politics. Politics invaded the church. See the difference? When so-called politics goes against the godly stand, the godly values of this book, then a preacher's a coward and a traitor if he don't stand up and contend for the faith. And no, it won't always be popular, but it'll still be right. And atomize it. What's the movement been? Transgender movement, homosexuals, marriage, getting into our schools, teaching our kids. Hey, that's invading God's word. God says homosexuality is an abomination. For a preacher to hide his head and go on the cover and not face that, he's wrong. What about the killing of a wholesale killing of babies? We call it abortion. It's genocide. If a preacher won't preach against that, he's not worth his salt, much less his salary. Amen? And so call me political if you want to. You say, don't you know you divide the crowd? The crowd needs dividing sometime. Somebody said, well, did you have a great service Sunday morning? Yes, we did. How many joined? None. What made it a good service? Some of them we didn't want didn't join. You got to think that thing through sometime, amen? All right. Get a little play in there with you some. We've stood for some things. We still stand for the only way of salvation is Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, I have some folks come to the door once in a while, try to say something to me like Jesus is not the only way. Yes, he is the only way. And the world don't want to recognize that today. And if there's any verse in the Bible hated, it's John 14:6, where the Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what does it say? No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's still in the book, and that's still the truth. If you're not going to be saved, it's going to be through Jesus. Not through your church membership, your false religion, or your works, or anything else. You know, we've moved to the day and time, though, where churches in their desperation have tried to use the methods of the world to reach the world. You know what that does? That cheapens the church. That's really what it does. And that's just the wrong way to do it. We're going to bring the world's sins inside the church house to attract the world to come in. Hey, the world's not fooled. Do you know a fellow that really is lost sinner? He don't need you to join him in his sin. He needs you to stay on good high ground to pull him out of his sin. And that's where we've stood. We've stood for the truth of God's word. Our plan in this evil day is to stay the same. Ephesians 3:21 says God will receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to stand before God and say, I didn't compromise your church down there, Lord. I kept preaching from your book. I kept using the music that glorified Christ. I kept taking a stand, maybe not popular and growing less popular all the time, but I didn't pull down the colors. I raised them high for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want, as this verse said, Paul said to the Philippian church here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. I believe God begun a good work at Landmark. The rest of the verse says, he hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what we got to do? Keep on going till the trumpet sounds. To the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day is closer than it's ever been before. And I've asked God, I guess I ask him daily, give me grace for tomorrow. Give me grace for this weekend. Give me grace for this job that needs to be done. And so far, God's given me that grace. I can't look a year ahead. I can't look at what 2018 is going to bring. I don't know about tomorrow. But the saying is, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that's the Lord. Amen. He's our blessed hope. And I believe he could come anytime and we'd stand before him. I'm thankful for 2017 being a good year. I'm thankful I can read some of these reports I read to you tonight. Yes, I'd love to see more souls saved. I'd love to see more done. I'm praying tonight as we take this last offering toward the mission goal, that it'll be a good one. If not, we'll keep on keeping on. We won't let it whip us. We've been asking you and still asking you again tonight to do your best. And while we're on break tonight, the ushers will be counting the final offering. And we'll get a report when we come back in. And that doesn't mean that some more might not come in. Like I got a check in the mail this week I told you about. Somebody that's not, had never been in this building, just listening to us on the radio in another state. And some of the technology online, I guess. And the good thing is, somebody says, well, how do you figure who's going to give? I don't. I figure what God's going to do. And if he does it through me or if he does it through you, it's still God. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask that we stand. I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready to receive the offering. And this will be our final offering in the offering plates because next Sunday will be the new year. Amen. And I'm going to ask them to get ready tonight. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll receive the offering, and then we'll have the break. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we'd be in your house. Thank you for each one that's come. Thank you for the reports we've heard, and we look forward to some more reports in the second half. Father, I ask your blessing on the refreshment that we'll receive here in a few minutes. But Lord, my heart is burdened tonight that we give and give well this final time to missions. Lord, we had such a good testimony from Brother Roll tonight and ministries that's going on. Sometimes, Father, right here on our own property and inside this building, we don't see the results we'd like to. But dear God, we've got a lot of fish hooks out there reaching for souls and through the missionaries and other countries, places like the Children's Home, places like the Bahamas and many other places where you're doing a work that we can have a little part in. We thank you for that. We ask your blessing now, Father, on the offering tonight, on the missions, and we thank you again for what you've done. We thank you that we can see your hand of provision. And Father, we thank you that we have the promise that we can keep on serving you. We can perform it through your power until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in his precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask that we have a little music.